Architecture Talks, the podcast about architecture from Jung.
Architecture between Shenzhen and Hong Kong sounds like a lot of space and many challenges. What does that actually mean? What kind of demands does a construction have between and in cooperation with two such major cities? Schneider and Schumacher's office in China is currently establishing a cooperation zone for innovation in science and technology right there. We are very curious to learn more about the quality of China's projects in today's episode of the Jung Architecture Talks podcast. We are Katrina and Diane from Jung. Our guest today is Nan Wang. Nan, you are Managing Director of Schneider & Schumacher China, Tianjin and Shenzhen since 2019. You were born in 1982 in China. After you studied architecture in China and Germany, you decided to stay in Germany for a while and directly started working on big square meter projects. Is that right?
Right. Hello, I'm Nan. Hi, I'm the general director of Schneider Schumacher China. And I want to say is Schneider Schumacher is actually a German firm, and we entered the Chinese market since 2011. Officially started the Tianjin office first in the year of 2013. And the Shenzhen branch was founded actually in 2019, almost 6 years after Tianjin office. And after I finished my architecture diploma in Germany, I worked there as an urban designer for almost 2 years. I participated in urban design related works, which gave me a better understanding of scale of the urban design and architecture, and actually about human activities. Still, I decided to come back and took my role as an architect in my motherland in China. So that's me.
Nice to have you here.
So could you like briefly describe the demography of your office, and does the majority consist of Chinese young architects, or is it more overseas architects? How is the mixture?
Our co-design team is composed by, as you mentioned, young architects. And the average age of them is about 30 years old. And we have Chinese, yes, quite young. And we have Chinese architects and overseas architects in our team. While most of them, I would say two-thirds are, or maybe even a bit more, are Chinese. And about the hierarchy of the team, our office founder, Professor Michael Schumacher, is our chief designer. He is also, we call him our spirit. And you are him, Matt, Mr. Matt, and I. We too are the design directors, and the project manager for the team is actually always a Chinese architect with more than 10 years experiences, I would say. Meantime, with the experience of working in an internationally known architecture office. And the project manager communicates with the client and also all subcontractors, manage the whole project. In addition, the project managing team is generally composed also by an overseas architect who communicates more with our chief designer and also our current colleague.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. And the other collaborators of the team are mainly Chinese. Moreover, we have now actually more and more talented young Chinese architects join and enhance our team after finishing their study abroad. They became the major force of this office in China.
I'm sure Michael will be delighted to hear what you called him.
Yes. Right after this, I'll send you the video. Send him the video.
He will listen to the sentence repeatedly. Yeah.
Yeah. Underline the sentence.
Nan, what do you think about the Shenzhen market? Or even more precisely, what do you think about doing a project in Shenzhen?
The Shenzhen market is in China, I think it's maybe the most mature architecture market. Mm-hmm. It's fair and open, transparent and inclusive. Because of the openness and inclusiveness, the architecture competitions in Shenzhen attracts lots of great international architecture outfits. I would say for most of public competitions, when we meet always the first Liga of the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the public competition is also the source of most of our projects. And we officially launched our firm in Shenzhen since actually 2015. Our first project is a justice center. And we accumulate lots of experiences and realized some projects during these 5 years, including some big scale projects. Meanwhile, during the collaborations with the local design institutes, we have learned a lot of experience about realizing a project in Shenzhen. And now we understand quite well the construction rules, the examinations of the project, and also the design process in Shenzhen. I think the local experiences and also our local team is one of our most advantages in China. And also the most impressive experience in working in Shenzhen is that the project procedure and the management of the client is very professional. In general, we could say that Shenzhen provides very good opportunities for architects, and the market is quite good platform. There is more and more outstanding projects breaking out of the ground now.
Shenzhen is quite a young city, I would say, no? It just changed really a lot within the last 10, 15 years.
Yes. Shenzhen is more or less 40 years old. Very, very young. Mm-hmm. Yes. It was a small village. 40
years. Yes. Yeah, it was like growing very fast. I remember I was there like 12 years ago, maybe. Wow. And now it's like almost, I don't know, the double size.
Yes. Yeah. It grows very fast. Sometimes also a bit scary, you know, because I still remember in 2015, during our first project, we lived in a hotel and we watched out of the window and we saw nothing. It's empty and some ocean and some landscape. But now, you know, after 5 years now, we cannot watch out anymore.
Mm-hmm. Because oh my gosh.
A lot of high rises and a lot of buildings. Suddenly, you feel like you are in New York or somewhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many inhabitants does Shenzhen have today? Do you know that? Well, approximately?
The exact number, I don't remember, but I think. More than 10 million people.
A village.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's move to Shenfang Park. Like it's one of your widely published current project, which certainly was a big challenge designing it and a big challenge constructing it. So the holistic design approach is representative for a new generation of research buildings that provide laboratories and offices, as well as exhibition areas, conference rooms, and leisure facilities where scientists can meet each other in informal surroundings. So could you please give us a picture, even if this is only like an audio recording, of some major challenges constructing such a highly sophisticated area?
At first, I want to say this project Shen Huang Park is for us is really a huge challenge. Mm-hmm. And because it's for our firm, Schneider Schumacher, it's our first time in China to be a general contractor of the mm-hmm. design. First thing first, the client of this project made two open biddings. One is the architecture design bidding, and the second is construction design bidding. So they separate the whole project design into two parts. Mm-hmm. And we won the architecture design bidding and were in charge of the whole schematic design phase and the architecture development design phase. So meaning during the schematic design phase, we had no local support. So we have to subcontract our own structure and MEP engineer and also all kinds of consultants for the SD phase. Mm-hmm. Considering the complexity of the entire project, half of the buildings is laboratories. Mm-hmm. So we also brought a professional laboratory consultant into the team.
Wow. That's why,
yes, that's why I say at first this is really a challenge for us as a general contractor of such a big building. And we were confronted with an old aspect, very complicated team, which has been formed by many subcontractors from different fields. And we all have to work as one efficiently and effectively. Mm-hmm. So this is a great deal of difficulties in dealing with such a big team with more than, if I counted, mm-hmm. I think more than 10 offices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, also communicating with so many different kinds of people and professions.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's the challenge. Yeah. But we have in our team, you know, the very experienced Chinese project manager, so who's capable to communicate or manage this kind of big scale project. Mm-hmm. So I think this role is very important for us as a foreign firm in China.
Yes.
And for this project, second, the total square meters of this project is more than 220,000 square meters.
Oh gosh.
Yes. So it's one building, but it's so big. And this scale is also a challenge to our team, of course. And we put actually our best people and the strongest force in this project. And we formed a team of more than 15 people in our office. At the same time, as the government project, Shifang Park has a very short design period and a very tight schedule. So we have to guarantee this building construction, interior, curtain wall, and even the landscape have to be pushed forward at the same time. And the other course, we have to make sure everything has to be on the same page. So that's the second point. And another obstacle we were forcing was the tight budget. As a foreign-based firm, we have to be very good at controlling the budget, even since the very beginning of this project, since the schematic design, which requires very stable and extensive design during that time. To achieve that, we hired consultants to work with us every step of the way, as elevator consultant, facade consultant, lighting, traffic, cost estimation consultants and surveyors, yeah, to guarantee we are, you know, the budget is under the control. So put all in a nutshell, the entire design process could be described as bumpy, but very successful till now.
A bumpy success.
Yes, very successful. And we overcame many obstacles, of course, but we saw them as design opportunities. Currently, the project has entered the construction design phase. So it means our design drawings have to be handed over to the local design institute. And what we are doing now is mainly concerning about the design of details and also interior.
Mm-hmm.
And also we do, of course, drawing reviews of the local design institute later, and you know, in case we can control the design quality. So that's about the Shifang part.
What is the working language in this project? I mean, you speak German, Chinese, and English. And do you need all the three languages, or what is the main or the basic language you communicate with all the different professions and the people you hired for the project, the consultants?
We actually use the international language, English,
mm-hmm.
Because on the board, we have in our team architects from Germany, but we also have architects from Holland, for example. And the Chinese architects, most of them, they speak English, no German.
Yes.
And our consultants, we have also some overseas consultants. For example, the Aru from England.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm. For example, them, and also some Chinese consultants.
Interesting. As we know, Nan, China has three design phases compared to Germany with 9 phases, which makes the whole process very much like a lot of shorter. What design phases can overseas companies participate in the design of Chinese projects? And how can they carry out and control the design work further on?
So in China, we do have three major phases, but actually this three phases is about to be built process.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't inclusive the, for example, the bidding phase or construction phase. That's why, you know, it sounds like we have three phases, but in Germany we have 9. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So our system is more like the English system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the three phases are schematic design phase, and the second we call that design development phase, and mm-hmm. the third is construction design phase. So if we compare it to the German process, actually the schematic design phase in China equals the phase 2 in Germany.
Yes.
And the second, the design development phase is a phase 3 in Germany. And the construction design phase is, of course, in Germany, we call that phase 5.
So you skip a few.
No, they're just like working more efficiently.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, but actually we have to do all the work the same like we do in Germany. But
yeah, of course, the work is the same.
We don't have a independent phase for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, is there any gap between the China's construction level and the level in Germany?
That's a very interesting question. I think a lot of German architects ask me the same question.
And a lot of German architects will listen to this podcast. That's why we're asking it.
Okay, that's great. So officially, I answer this question again.
Is it always the same answer or do you have different answers?
Yeah, actually different. You know, for example, 5 years ago, my answer is yes, there is a gap, maybe a big gap. But today it's different. So I think architecture is very related to the economic development. Mm-hmm. And the investigating of a region. And China, you know, is a very large country with the vast territory. So there is a huge difference between each different region in terms of economic development. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thus, we cannot treat this question as the same for different regions. For our office, most of our projects are in Shenzhen, which is the fastest growing city in China and the leading GDP amount among the old cities in China. Meanwhile, the amount of investment in Shenzhen is higher and the investment per square meter is higher. Until now, we don't think that there is a huge difference between Shenzhen construction and German construction in terms of quality control. From 2018, the government of Shenzhen demanded almost all the architecture projects apply the prefabricated technology through design and the construction process, which can guarantee the quality of the construction and accelerate the cycle of the construction. Therefore, the quality of Chinese construction is not in the inferior of German construction. In the opposite, thanks for the application of the prefabricated technology, the quality of Chinese construction is always improving.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, sure.
So that's my answer. For today.
Your answer for today. That's nice.
Yeah, but I mean, it's changing, like all, it's always changing. It's just like a long-term process. No, everybody is trying to improve the processes, the quality, budget. Everything that's happening, the budget, etc. Yes.
Yes.
Everybody's working on like an optimizing process all the time, constantly. We're always trying to optimize things, like, you know.
Of course, both. Yes. So as an architect, that most of our contracts make us to be, what's that the word? I forgot. So we have, as I said, for the Shenfang Park, we have actually to control the budget for the client. And also, of course, control the quality. And as I said, thanks for the application of this prefabricated technology. So which from the government side, appoint they force all investors to do that. So I think it's a very good thing for China.
Absolutely.
Could you tell us a little bit more about Chinese projects? So what is the quality of China's projects?
I think this question is very broad, referring to the quality of projects in China. Last questions we talked about parts of the construction qualities. It can be revealed from two aspects. Firstly, on a size basic, projects in China are bigger, so it's hard.
Absolutely,
slightly bigger.
yes, quite big. So it's hard to compare projects in China and in Germany. Then from the importance of projects, all the projects that our firm participated in are main projects, which we call that important projects. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It means the clients usually have quite high expectations on those projects. So our architects have more freedom to explore and develop their talents to create more design and innovation to be more creative. So of course we may fail sometimes, happens, but we learn from them and develop the experiences. Generally, from my view, China project have provided actually a very good platform for architects to be more creative. So I think that's also one kind of quality.
I think that's definitely a point. I know from German architects who have been in China working there in different offices, they are definitely telling the same. So the freedom in designing and like being creative is so great in China because they can just like let their ideas flow somehow and just try it out. And it's not that kind of restricted like it is in Europe, especially if we think about the combination about the size of the project, but also about the possibility to be as creative as they can imagine.
That's what I was wondering about. Is it related to the square meters that you can be more creative because of the size, just because you have more space to create? Or is it the freedom of creation you have in China?
I think at first it's because, for example, Shenzhen, because Shenzhen is our main market. So Shenzhen is a very young city, 40 years old, very young. And we call Shenzhen in China, in Chinese, is how to say, is a creative center of China. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Shenzhen has a label of creation. So for architecture, of course, as you mentioned, I think it's a good point. The projects are huge. So we built a very big buildings. It means in the meantime, usually the buildings intends a lot of different functions. So for
of example,
our Chifang Park, because they cannot be like 100,000 square meters only offices. It's impossible. So, of course, our buildings, most of them have very different functions. None for architects, the challenge is, of course, how can you combine all functions into one building? Now, of course, it has to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's maybe the reason.
What would you say are you most recently contributed to?
This year, Shenzhen projects and also the projects in Great Bay Area are still our central task. We participated in several large cultural projects, tender in Shenzhen, hoping we could contribute to cultural development in Shenzhen. And we have just shortlisted for Shenzhen workers pilots for cultural projects.
Oh.
So yes, it's a very special cultural building. The workers' palace. We call that palace. It's actually like a leisure building for workers.
Okay.
And, yes, in old times. Yes, it's for German architects very interesting. And it's also a very large cultural project. It's about 150,000 square meters. This size.
A small one.
It's a bit smaller than the Chifang Park. And this project is with a strong imprint of the times. For now in China, actually, we don't usually build a new building called Workers' Palace. But you can imagine before 20 years or even older in China, we have a lot of workers. Most of the Chinese citizens are workers. That's why in that time, we have built a lot of workers' buildings or palaces. So this is our new challenge for this year. It's also one of the most important projects for our firm. And besides, as a German architecture firm, with our experiences also in Germany, because our firm is till this year 31 years old. So we did have some experience in Germany and now also in China. So we have our own understanding of the city, including urban scale, street scale, building scale, public space scale, and the relationship between building and people. So we hope from now on we could join in more small-scale urban design.
Mm-hmm. Nan, if you could choose to have lunch with anyone you wish, who would it be and what would you like to talk about with this person?
Yeah, that's the most interesting question to me.
For us as well, the answers are usually the most interesting ones.
Yes. So my colleague told me there is, the last question is about lunch. So I asked her, actually, do I still have some chance to choose a bad person?
Of course.
Sure, anything is possible.
Okay. So I think maybe that person is, it's maybe not proper. So I chose Norman Foster.
Why did you? So what would you like to talk about with him?
Yes, Sir Norman Foster, he is, important and also famous architect. And he has a lot of experience in Europe and also in China and even in Korea. So in Shenzhen, currently, we have participated in some project which, Sir Norman Foster was also in that project. And I have realized that there are some experiences I would like to share with him and also learn from him. Especially, I want to hear what for example, Sir Norman Foster think the China urban design developed, how it developed for Chinese cities, and in such a big scale city, and if he has his own ideas, what can be improved from his point. So that's why I would like very seriously to think if I have the chance to have a lunch with him.
Actually, we can send him this episode and just invite him to meet you in Shenzhen when he's there next time.
Oh, so that's great. I buy the lunch.
I mean, of course, you would have to choose it, of course.
Yeah. Great.
Is it actually usual that China has so many young offices, or is it more common that there are a lot of offices with like such a long experience as Schneid and Schumacher has it?
China, we have a very different system for this market. So in Germany, most of architecture firms are private, all of them private firms. And usually the architecture firms, meaning only architects, no engineers. But of course, Sir Norman Foster has also engineers in his house. But in Germany, usually architecture and architects and the engineers are sitting separately.
Yeah.
But in China, I call that LDI. Actually, it means Local Design Institute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the Local Design Institute are usually a very big firm, of all aspects. So means the structure engineer, MEP engineer, elevator consultant, they have all professional people about all aspects for a building. So in China, this institute usually is very, very big. So for example, we have several local design institutes. We cooperated a lot in Shenzhen market. So most of them are over 2,000 people, and two are over 4,000 people.
Wow.
So it's a huge firm. Then, of course, the Chinese system for our job makes our foreign firm, we have no right to do the construction drawings, because it needs to be certificated. So our firm, we are from overseas, so we cannot do that. So for every project in China, we cooperate with a Chinese firm, a local design institute. So they do the construction drawings. Yes.
Yeah, then you collect more experience in cooperating than in actually establishing your company over centuries or years or decades, like here.
Yes, usually this kind of local design institutes, they are, I think every city in China has at least one state-owned architecture firm. And maybe some very big private firms. So the state-owned firms are, of course, old. Sometimes they are even 50 years old, 60 years old. That's normal. But the private ones are young. So usually they are younger than us, than Schneider Schumacher.
Well, Nan, we're coming to the end of our episode. I would like to thank you so much for sharing your time with us. And we really hope that we will be able to meet soon in person. Even this year, I guess the chance to travel to China won't be that realistic, but next year we'll definitely be there. And just hope to meet you there in person. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was. It will be also my pleasure to meet you two in person. Thank you very much again for the.
You're very welcome.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. And actually, this was also our first podcast recording with China. So,
really?
Yes.
That's really my honor.
It's an honor for us as well. And we are really happy that everything worked out technically. And so greetings to Tianjin. Tianjin, is that pronounced right?
It's a
pronunciation challenge for us sometimes. And it was a really great pleasure talking and listening to you. So, and we invite you all to the upcoming Jung Online Lectures and Jung Architecture Talks podcast. Look them up on jung.de/architects and tune in.